All right, here we go. It is time for Fast Track. And let's see. We got to say this. Fast Track is brought to you by our friends at Puente Hills Toyota. If you've got a car just sitting around, make sure you bring it to Puente Hills Toyota for an instant cash offer. Puente Hills Toyota is the house of yes. All right, John, one side of the coin. Lakers are going to go down 0-3 after their matchup.
Clippers, you mean. You said
I'm
Lakers.
Sorry, the Clippers are going to go down 0-3 in their matchup against the Utah Jazz tomorrow. Other side of the coin, Clippers salvage one at home. Call it in the air.
It's Tails. They're going to win on Saturday.
Tails it is.
No, they're not.
All right, Mace, I will go first. No advantage comes with this.
Okay.
I don't know if you saw this, but yesterday may go down as the most surreal moment in the history of CNN. Jeffrey Toobin, the longtime legal analyst for the network, returned to work after a seven-month suspension for something he did on a Zoom call when he was working at New Yorker magazine. Normally, the network would never mention what he did. They would either just fire him or let him go back to work with no mention of it. But CNN tackled this head-on. Here's anchor Allison Camerota with Toobin in the moment he returned to the air yesterday. This runs a little, it runs about a minute and a half. I'll let you hear the whole thing. Here's Allison Camerota.
In October, you were on a Zoom call with your colleagues from the New Yorker magazine. Everyone took a break for several minutes, during which time you were caught masturbating on camera. You were subsequently fired from that job after 27 years of working there. And you since then have been on leave from CNN. Do I have all that right?
You got it all right, sad to say.
Okay, so let's start there.
Okay.
To quote Jay Leno, what the hell were you thinking?
Well, obviously, I wasn't thinking very well or very much. And it was something that was inexplicable to me. I think one point, I wouldn't exactly say in my defense, because nothing is really in my defense. I didn't think I was on the call. I didn't think other people could see me.
You so, thought that you had turned off your camera?
Correct. I thought that I had turned off the Zoom call. Now, that's not a defense. This was deeply moronic and indefensible. But, I mean, that is part of the story. And, you know, I have spent the seven subsequent months, miserable months in my life, I can certainly confess, trying to be a better person. I mean, in therapy, trying to do some public service, working in a food bank, which I certainly am going to continue to do, working on a new book about the Oklahoma City bombing. But I am trying to become the kind of person that people can trust again.
All right. Do you respect CNN for addressing the elephant in the room, or did they screw this up?
No, I think they're really, really smart to just hit it head on. And Toobin's really smart to hit it head on. I mean, nobody, and this is a good case of, finding a way to deal with a misdeed without completely canceling someone. He served 7 months of exile.
Right.
And now he's back, and they've given a complete and full explanation of what happened. And I'm now going to be able to look at, when I watch CNN, Jeffrey Toobin and not necessarily think about him diddling himself during a Zoom call.
You know, Jamel Hill, who we know and used to work with us at ESPN, said, if a person of color would have done the same thing Toobin did, they'd never be given a second chance.
Oh, interesting.
Do you buy that? Let me just say, I don't. Turner, who owns CNN, is way more forgiving than the big networks like ABC, NBC, CBS. Without throwing anybody under the bus, Google Charles Barkley's history. Google Greg Anthony's history.
Yeah.
These are two guys that were arrested and for things you could argue way more offensive than Toobin's, and they're still stars at Turner. I'm with you. I think that they found a way not to cancel somebody. And it's not going to be easy for Toobin. This is going to be what people remember him for. But I'm glad they found a way not to cancel
somebody.
I also
think it's interesting that they had a woman as the interviewer.
Yeah.
Which was even more on point, which I think was even sharper.
All right, it's to you.
All right, in the athletes' village at the Tokyo Olympics in just 5 weeks, They will do what they've always done for years, hand out a few hundred thousand condoms. But they are telling athletes that they should
today,
not get
apparently.
That they should not get intimate because of COVID. Now, that's not the only downside to being a 2021 Summer Olympian. It's not clear, and it looks like there won't be alcohol allowed in the village, which is going to house 11,000 Olympic athletes and 4,400 Paralympians. Meanwhile, about 60% of Japan is opposed to the Olympics taking place at all in Tokyo this summer. If you're an athlete, knowing all that stuff, how do you feel about competing at these Olympics?
It's my one chance. I'm showing up to compete. I think I would be devastated if it went the other way. Now, I personally, Mace, would cancel the Olympics. I think the rate of vaccination in Tokyo, I believe, is 2%.
Yeah.
It just seems incredibly
They're kind of
risky.
Where we were last March.
Right. So, but they're going to do it. And if they're going to do it, and I'm an Olympic athlete who's been training and getting ready for this moment, put me on that plane. I'm going. How about you?
Yeah, I'm going to. You know, I still would have preferred to push the Olympics back to next summer when I think it could be more
totally agree.
Normal. You're listening to KSPN Los Angeles. But I do think that it's got to be heartbreaking for athletes who have trained their entire lives, and this might be their one moment, and their family can't be there, and they're supposed to stay away from other athletes at the Olympic Village. They're not supposed to screw around. There's not going to be alcohol there. I would be really bummed that I drew this short straw, that these were my Olympics. But, of course, I would be there. Of course, they'll compete. The NBC has got so much money in it. I think NBC is the one reason they're going to happen this summer.
I agree.
Should really be pushed back, but NBC's got too much money sunk into it. But, yeah, I mean, you compete, but it's got to be a downer that you're not getting the full Olympic experience. All right, it's to you.
Fast track.
All right, guys, Amazon has announced June 21st is the date for its Prime Day kickoff, but some deals have already leaked online, including discounts on Amazon Echo speakers and 4K TVs. Do you guys pay attention to these Prime Days? And if so, what do you normally buy?
I do not pay any attention to the Prime Days. What
Lindsay,
happens
do you?
On the Prime Days?
I used to, but I feel like the last few years, it's been a bit of a letdown. I know in the past, I've gotten a really good deal on headphones, like wireless Bluetooth earbuds.
Basically, right. It's a giant sale,
yeah.
To answer your question. They put a ton of stuff on sale.
Yeah, I feel like it used to be a lot bigger deal than it is now. And plus also like Target, Walmart, and all other places try and compete with it now. So, I mean, you can get really good deals, but you just got to like pay really close attention.
What's the actual day or date of it?
June 21st.
June 21st. I'll shop on June 21st if I think I'm going to get a deal. Yeah.
Yeah.
And how long does it go for?
I'm all for getting deals.
They normally let it go for a day or two, but they also will like leak deals
right.
leading up to it.
Right.
Like they'll say, hey, here's an early Prime Day deal. And then on the 21st, they just put almost everything on sale.
Right.
But a lot of the stuff sells out, though. So you got to
jump on it when
they
do it.
Scoop it up. Yeah.
But
totally.
This Prime Day is not just for members, is it? Not just for Prime members, because you don't have to pay your membership or whatever?
That's a good question. I think it might be,
but I think like one of the catches with Prime Day is like you can sign up then and you get like 30 days free. So you can use it, sign up and get stuff, you know, as a Prime member and then cancel it and you're not going to get charged anything.
Okay. There you go.
All right,
June the 21st.
Fast track.
All right, would you like to live a few years longer? A woman named Selena Lua has founded a company in Silicon Valley called Cellular Longevity Incorporated. She has begun developing a compound that is showing success in extending the lives of dogs. She is showing preliminary success. Dogs that she's working with are living longer and living healthier longer. Now, if there was a pill to slow down the aging process, would you take it?
And there's no side effects. I like living here on Earth. I think I would take it. How about you?
Yeah, I would absolutely. And here's the thing about it. It's not so much living longer. She says living longer and living healthier longer. So if I could, I don't care about living longer. Like, I want to live until the day before miserable. Once I get miserable, I don't care. I'm out of here. But if they extend the period of me living healthier longer, then I'm all in for that. So, I think it's interesting. So they're finding it works for dogs. And it could, that's the next step, be tested on people. And, yeah, I'm all in. Lindsay, what about you?
let's be serious. These celebrities and, you know, millionaires and billionaires already have this, have been taking this pill.
No, they don't.
Oh, yeah.
No, I mean, they don't. You think this exists already?
Yeah, totally.
I think Dick Clark lived a lot longer than we thought he was going to. Remember
that? Wait a minute. Lindsay, if somebody had this compound, whatever this pill is, you don't think they'd try to sell it to everybody and make bank?
Yeah, but there's plenty of people that I just think that they probably have some kind of black market thing. Or you know how people have to go to Mexico to get plasma because it's not legal to get it here? Or like the stem cell stuff?
Yeah,
not
sure.
Plasma, stem cell. Yeah. I think there's a lot of things that like have been invented or exist that aren't available to regular people because, you know, if this person has got to sell it and get it all approved by the government and all that stuff, I'm sure that they sell it to people that are the money.
You think secretly that everybody who's famous already has access to
not
it?
Everybody.
Maybe that explains Tom Brady.
Yeah.
Tom Brady,
Phil
LeBron.
Mickelson.
Hmm.
Yeah. I don't
That's
know.
Interesting.
Jennifer Lopez having that body at 50.
Oh, man.
Well,
she,
you know, I'll tell you this weird story. I worked briefly on this TV show called The Highwayman. And I was sort of like in an overseeing role. And Sylvester Stallone was really good friends with the casting agents. And he said when they were working on movies with Sly, that he would try all kinds of stuff. That one time they flew
to
Europe.
Did he do a blood transfusion?
Yeah,
like
went to Europe and did lamb's blood. I mean, they were doing like all kinds of stuff. So to me, that's experimental. I don't believe that there's an actual pill yet to slow down the aging process.
I think there is experimental because, again, there's a lot of stuff that's not yet legal in the United States. It's legal in other countries that people like Joe Rogan said that he had, like, his mom had one of those stem cell transfers in her knee because she needed a knee replacement. Said her knee is good as new.
Wow. Okay. So lucky, rich, and famous people are getting an edge on all of us. Just another reason to dislike them. All right, Ireland, what's next?
Fast track.
All right, over the next couple of weeks, there'll be a lot of people giving graduation speeches. Because of COVID, some of these speeches will be virtual.
Yeah.
But most colleges are having a commencement. Let's say you are hired to give the commencement speech this year at Bowling Green, your alma mater.
Okay.
What would be the most important piece of advice you would give the graduates as they head out into the world?
It would be this. Be willing to fail. I think that everybody who has succeeded in life, everybody who has become a billionaire, has become a tastemaker, has become an important executive. Everybody was willing to go into things and fail sometimes because it's a little bit like what Tom Brady says, no risk it, no biscuit, right? I mean, you've got to put yourself out there and put yourself in vulnerable positions trying to reach for ultimate goals. And if you don't get there, learn from that, get right back up and chase it again. That would be my message.
All right, so mine would be something that I've tried to do my whole career that has served me well. Stay humble and don't get outworked. In other words, at every company, every place you go, there is one person who works harder than everybody else.
Yeah.
I remember when I got my first job at a TV station in Monroe, Louisiana, they assigned me to the day shift. They said, all right, we're going to have you work from 9 to 6.
Were you doing sports?
I wasn't. I was a news reporter.
Okay.
And they said, I said, that's perfect. Thank you. I never went home because I didn't know anyone there. I never went home until the 10 o'clock news ended at 10:30.
Wow.
I would leave and go get dinner. And then I'd come back. I always wanted to be around in case something happened and they needed somebody. And people notice that stuff. People notice if you're always willing to work harder than anybody else. And as long as you're not a jackass about it, if you stay humble and just say, hey, how can I help? What can I do? What else needs to get done? Then you learn how to do everything that everybody does. I remember I would ask people to do stuff. Like one time the person who was running the teleprompter didn't show up.
Yeah.
And I said, oh, I'll do it. Anyway, let me get in there and do it. And another time, one of the cameramen didn't show up. There's no unions in those small markets. I said, I'll go try and shoot it. I'll see how I do.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're willing to do that, if you don't get outworked by anybody, I think that's a huge way to get ahead. I've told you this story a bunch of times that when I first got a job in LA, I had that mantra in my head. And I said, so the first time I got assigned to a story, I was supposed to be there at noon. I got there at 10 o'clock. And there was Jim Hill. He's already there. And the next day I got assigned, I remember it was King's Media Day. And it was supposed to start at 11 a.m. So I got there at 9, and there was Jim Hill. He was already there. Third day, same thing happened again. And finally, I went, I walked up to Jim. I go, I'm just never going to beat you to a story, am I? And he goes, you and I are going to get along great. And we've been friends ever since.
Wow.
Then. Because Jim goes to work every day at 9 o'clock in the morning and does not stop until 11:30 at night.
Works very hard. That's why he's the first guy at every single press conference, every single event, and why he deserves the first question. Always. Yeah. Always.
All right. Do we have time for one more? Or is that it?
Let's call it.
All right.
Let's call it.
Okay.
All right. Coming up next for you is Wheel of Questions. It is a very, very, very tough question today. I think, because we have to spin the wheel. We haven't even spun the wheel. Okay. So we'll spin the wheel, and we'll see what comes up. But it's
integrity of the wheel.
Could be something really tough. That's coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Let me tell you about my friend Jacob Imrani. If you or a loved one is injured in any kind of accident, Jacob is the guy. And the one thing he always says is you got to get to a doctor right away. And, you know, he knows you're busy. You're in an accident, you're injured, you can't wait to go see a doctor. If you call Jacob, he will set you up with a doctor, even a specialist, within 24 hours. He will make sure you're on the path to recovery and that you properly document and bolster your case against the insurance company so you can get the largest settlement possible. And if you've got a case right now with some other attorney, some other bozo, and they're not doing their job, or you feel like they're not engaged and they're not paying attention, call Jacob for a free second opinion. And remember, you don't pay Jacob a penny unless he wins for you. 24 hours a day, call 844-24-JACOB. That's 844-24-JACOB. 844-24-JACOB, or remember the catchy jingle.
Accident or injury, call Jacob and Ronnie, call Jacob.
Call Jacob.com. Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
There it is for my mom, turning 79 Sunday. She didn't throw her panties on stage because, rightfully, she says she wasn't wearing.
Hey, so you remember I said that I thought "Can't Stop" from the Chili Peppers would be a really good walk-up song?
Yes.
Somebody has suggested, I wouldn't know, you might, that they use it for the start of the second half at LAFC games. Is that possible? Jorge, do you go to LAFC games?
Sometimes. Let me look it up.
I go to LAFC, but I've not paid attention to that. That's usually get back from the bar time right at the beginning of the second half.
I hope so. I think it'd be good.
So I have not noticed, but I wouldn't surprise me at all if they use that at LAFC. You've not been to LA. You got to get out to LAFC.
One time. Yeah, I only went to one time, and I only stayed for the first half because I had to go pick Jack up.
It's such a cool scene out there. Are they playing? I should know this. We're the LAFC station, but are we in season right now?
Yeah, we are.
And are they letting people in?
They are. I think they're going to go full stadium in a couple of weeks, the 29th, I believe. I might be wrong.
All right, so the 29th. That'd be great.
One of those.
Great to get back there. That is a beautiful place. By the way, I saw Mumford & Sons there last summer of 19, I guess it was. Fantastic place to see a concert. And Guns N' Roses is coming there later on this summer. So I'll be there for that show, Guns N' Roses. I'm a big Guns N' Roses guy. All right, so Wheel of Questions. I have never have any idea what's going to come up on the Wheel of Questions.
Not.
I've got a whole big wheel. It's filled with questions. I want you to visualize this, and Jorge is going to spin it right now. These are challenging, challenging questions. Oh, I was afraid this one was going to come up.
What have we got?
Okay. Where do you believe we go when we die?
Well, you can go to one of three places. You can go to heaven, you can go to hell, or you can go to purgatory, right?
That is the biblical view of it, yes.
Right now, I think purgatory is a Catholic thing. Would make me kind of go to purgatory and have a couple of conversations, and maybe I could get into heaven.
Wait, but is that what you personally believe happens when people die?
Yeah.
You believe people do go to heaven?
You don't, Lindsay?
Uh-uh.
What do you think happens?
I think people get their spirits get reincarnated.
Oh, like you're like Shirley MacLaine. Hmm.
Yeah, reincarnated. See, I think we go to a different... This will sound kooky. A different plane of existence. That exists.
A higher level
of existence. Yeah. Yeah. We all go there. We all go to a higher level of existence. Smarter, healthier, being. That's what I believe.
But what about when that existence ends, then do you just keep getting smarter and healthier?
Life after life after life after life. That's what I believe. Life after life.
See, I'm with Lindsay on this one because listen to that word end, right? End. Yep. Energy never dies. Maybe our bodies can't take our energy to a certain point. So once we die, they send us on to a different one. So
that's deep.
You know?
That's heavy.
Yeah.
That's heavy.
That's what I think of.
I've never bought the reincarnation thing. I've never gone for reincarnation. It just seems too easy. Plus, I'd be afraid to be reincarnated as...
You wouldn't know, though. It's not like you're going to die... And then you're going to become a cat, and then you're going to be Steve Mason, the, you know, whatever aged man trapped in a cat's body. Like, you're not going to know the difference.
Please do not make me a cat.
You're not going to know the difference.
I would like to come back as one of my dogs.
Well, you can't because your dogs are already alive.
They get treated better than the people in my life. Dogs get everything they want here.
No, honestly, Sophie, if you have the choice to come back as something, what would it be?
What if you had a choice to come back as any person who's ever lived? Who would you come back as?
Any person who's ever lived.
Yeah. But it's got to be a person.
Wait, but that's not possible. It's not like you're going to come back as Diana.
Yes, because this conversation is all about things that are possible.
Yeah, you're a stickler for what's real and what's not.
Wait a minute. So you think that going to heaven or hell or purgatory is more likely than people being reincarnated?
No, I think that nobody knows. We're entertaining all these ideas. Why not entertain you could come back as anybody?
Yeah. Yeah, accept the premise. Have you ever done improv? Accept the premise.
All right,
I'm just trying to think logistically, like coming back as someone else, then what happens to that person that was in that body?
Well, let's just accept John's premise that we can come back as any single person in the history of the world.
Okay, so.
Okay. This is tough.
Yeah.
Very tough.
I'm trying to think.
The
first thing that popped into my head was Sinatra. But he had a lot of heartbreak.
He did have a lot. Well, I mean, he was dating celebrities, Ava Gardner and all those people. I mean, yeah, he was.
I got it.
Okay.
Oh, boy, John.
Bill Clinton.
Oh, no. Really? Bill Clinton?
Think about his life.
Oh, he's had a crazy life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Get to be president, get to kind of do whatever you want. Make a difference in the world?
You know who I'd want to be? This is going to sound weird. I would like to be President Dwight Eisenhower.
Why?
He helped us win the war. He was a huge hero, helped us win World War II. Then he became the president, and it was the happiest 8 years maybe in American history. There was no struggle. There was no strife.
You didn't really think this through, okay?
Okay.
Here's why. So you would be, basically, you'd want to be back in the 1950s.
Correct. That's where I'd want to be.
All right. Limited air travel, internet, no perks, none of the stuff we got going on now.
Yep. Just a worldwide hero as president.
Yeah. Modern. Bill Clinton's a worldwide hero to some.
Not to some others. Some others may have qualms with some of his behavior. That's weird. Well, the odds of Dwight D. Eisenhower being mentioned on the show today were very slim.
Very low.
Lindsay, if you came back as somebody, anybody in history, who would it be?
just off the top of my head, thinking about it without like really, really getting into the, you know, into the logistics, I guess.
Yep.
I would probably say Madonna. She's still alive, and I feel like she's going to live forever. You know, she's probably got that secret pill, because I don't know, all these pictures she posts on Instagram, and she's dating a guy who's like 20 years old, and it's like she looks like she's, you know, I mean, yes, she could look
That's a little bit better choice
for her age, but I feel like she looks pretty good for her
age.
She's
had a great life. She's made a ton of money. She's great looking.
Yep. She dated all the famous guys.
You would have been in three or four really bad movies, but other than that.
But she's loaded. She doesn't care.
Yeah,
she doesn't give a damn.
She does whatever she wants.
Yeah, it's amazing how long she's been relevant. I remember having a conversation. My brother is a huge Madonna fan and was since he was a little kid. And when she first came out, remember Borderline was the first song that hit really big for her? And my brother loved it. And I said, don't worry, she's a flash in the pan. She won't be around, you know, in 2 years. And he was like, no, she's going to be a gigantic star. And he was absolutely right. She is still relevant at the age of whatever she is. 80? Is she 80?
No,
70?
No way. Probably 60.
She's not 80. What is wrong with you? You think Madonna's 80? No.
I think Madonna, if I had to guess, I'd say Madonna's 60.
Same age as you.
I think Madonna, how old is she? No, Madonna, I think, is 80.
I'm going to say 60. I bet you I'm closer than you.
What year were you born, Mace?
65.
Okay, so she's like 10. I bet she's 10 years older than you. Let's
62.
See.
She's 62.
Yeah. So that's
but she
bad.
Looks great for 80.
She's 62. Idiot.
She looks great for 80. Fantastic. 62. But she's still, I mean, she's still relevant. That's a good call. Jorge, what about you? You can come back as any person in world history. Who would it be?
In world history, I don't know. But like actual, like somebody actual, Leo
yeah,
Messi.
Yeah, somebody you want to.
Yeah,
somebody
yeah. Leo Messi. Their... His life is just, you know, family man, just greatest soccer player in the world. You know, just one team.
Rich, super
rich,
mega rich.
Exactly. And he's Jorge, really
man,
good at what he does.
Wait, you really want to come back as somebody who's in real life shorter than you are?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, look, he's great, man.
He is great. He's the little, what did we used to call
but,
him?
But I'll make sure.
Flea.
But
I'll
little
make sure I'll
genius. Yeah, it's a good call.
At least come back as Ronaldo, and then you can date all the supermodels.
I mean, Messi could have done the same thing or probably did the same thing.
Look, Jorge likes the fact that he's a family guy.
Yeah, three boys.
But he had his day.
No, he's still at it, man.
Yeah, he's still at it. No question. All right, so that's a good call. That's a good call. All right, I'll tell you what. Let's do this. I've got stuff from Kendrick Perkins about the Clippers. Kendrick Perkins has made a pronouncement about the... Oh, we have a new question. All right, the question is...
What stuff?
The question is, what do you think of Kendrick Perkins' comments? And I will play them for you next. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yep. Free again. Free at last. So
you're free just like your mom.
True that.
Just like my mom. What a moment. My mom, by the way. Say that again. She didn't wear any panties. God.
There you
go. Things your mom will say. Not stepdad Leo. Oh, God. Not stepdad Leo texted. He said, "Mom says she'd come back as me." That's you could pick worse.
Yeah, I was gonna say you could pick worse.
All right, so the Clippers lost again. They're down 0-2 for the second consecutive series. No team, by the way, in NBA history has ever won a championship after being down 0-2 in two series. So Clippers struggle. Here's Kendrick Perkins. He thinks it's lights out.
I feel like this series is over, and it's sad because I had the Clippers in seven. But watching them play, I felt like that they needed to get a split out of these first two games. And then on top of that, the Jazz are winning a game, okay? The Jazz are winning these games without one of their all-stars and Mike Conley. That is disturbing to me. And watching the Clippers play, I'm thinking to myself, this is not the Dallas Mavericks. This is the Utah Jazz. This is a team that has been the best team in the NBA all season long, a team that has identity on both ends of the floor. It's just hard, and I think this series is over. I'm not saying that the Clippers won't win a game or maybe win two games, or it might go six, but it's over. Utah is winning this series.
Now, I'm with Kendrick. I don't think the Clippers dig out of this hole. I think there's something wrong with the Clippers. You know, tangible talent is what they have. I mean, there's no question. Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, I mean, these are superstar caliber players. But for whatever reason, it doesn't look right on the floor, whether it is a lack of connectivity, a lack of communication, a lack of urgency. They just don't seem, I guess, connected is the word.
Right. And especially in clutch situations, the numbers reflect that. They don't play well in the clutch. Kawhi is an unbelievable player, but he's not a leader. He doesn't talk. And then when you have a leader like Rajon Rondo, they didn't play him last night. Coach's decision, DNP.
Yeah,
how
that's
do you
weird.
Not play playoff Rondo in the playoffs?
Well, there must be some kind of we're not on the same page thing with Rajon Rondo.
I don't know. Yeah, we'll see what happens Saturday.
There has to be. There has to be. Now, the other thing he said, which is interesting, this is Kendrick Perkins again. He talked about Paul George.
At the end of the day, I came to the conclusion that this is the Paul George, right? He's a guy that's really not a number two option. He should never be considered a superstar. This is who he is. So, you know, from here on out, I'm not surprised when Paul George don't come to play. Right now, you know who the Robin is on this team? It's Reggie Jackson. Mm-hmm. Kawhi Leonard is a Batman, and the Robin is Reggie Jackson. Reggie Jackson have came up big for this Clippers team. You go back to game six, right, against Dallas, when Reggie Jackson had 25, when Kawhi Leonard went off and Paul George went six for 15. He runs away from the moment. I mean, I just don't want to keep, you know, pounding on PG. I mean, you just got to let it sink in and say, okay, this is just who he is. Let's stop having these expectations for him.
Okay. Right. Is Paul George a number two?
I think so, but I also think this. Well, let me phrase the question this way. Can you think of, off the top of your head, anybody you would consider more overrated than Paul George?
That's a good question. More overrated than Paul George? No. I mean, okay. Even last night he was a team worst minus 12. By the way, 877-710-ESPN. Anytime you want to jump into the show, you can do it. 877-710-ESPN. No matter if we're talking about heaven or Paul George being a bust.
And I wouldn't call him a bust. I think he's
he's a really good player.
I think he's a solid player. But he's not a max player, and they pay him as a max player.
He's not a superstar, and they pay him like a superstar.
Right, and if you as you watch this game, well, we already know you'd rather have Donovan Mitchell than Paul George. You'd rather have Kawhi Leonard than Paul George.
I'd rather have – I mean, Donovan Mitchell's been the best player in the series. He's been better than Kawhi.
Would you rather have Rudy Gobert or Paul George?
Boy, Gobert is what he does defensively.
Right.
I would take Gobert.
Okay. Would you rather have Chris Middleton or Paul George?
That's close. To me, right. that's a flip a coin.
But Chris Middleton came up big and made big shots down the stretch, and I haven't seen PG do that. I don't mean this to be the pound on Paul George segment, but I just. To
that's what it is, but it is. I actually have this written on the schedule, though. Pound on Paul George segment.
Okay, with Kendrick Perkins' point is, so the Clippers are supposed to be this team that has two elite defensive players.
Yes.
And maybe three with Patrick Beverley. Okay, if you have three elite defensive players, how does Luka shred you for 38 points a game over a seven-game series? And how does Donovan Mitchell average 40 a game in the first two games? And why is Luke Kennard guarding Donovan Mitchell with the game on the line? If I'm Paul George or Kawhi, I'm saying, look, I got him.
Yeah.
You know, I'm taking him. And I just, there's something missing there.
Yeah, there's something missing, and I wonder if it doesn't have to do with the fact that they sit players so many games, or guys sit so long, that load management is so prevalent that those guys aren't on the floor together
and
a
lot. By the way, Mace, I think they're going to win Saturday, and I think they could come back and win this series. But
I've got them buried. I took the shovel, and I dug a hole, and I threw them in, and then I covered it up, and I put a little cross.
I just think when you look at the teams that are left in the playoffs, there's just every team has two guys I'd rather have than Paul George. And he was sold to us as, you know, for example, you know, I don't even have to ask this. You'd rather have Joel Embiid than Paul George.
Oh,
right?
My God. Yeah, okay. That's not even close.
Here's two that are close. Ben Simmons or Paul George?
Yeah, it's close. Ben Simmons is a pretty big disaster. I mean, the free throw thing is killer. I would
Tobias Harris or Paul George?
They're on the exact same level.
Correct. Trae Young or Paul George?
Trae Young.
Devin Booker or Paul George?
Devin Booker.
Here's where it kind of gets... Well, Jamal Murray's hurt, so you can't really use
him. Can't really use that one.
I was going to say Michael Porter or Paul George. I think I would take George.
I would take George. Porter Jr. is going to be a really
any
big
of the
star
three
in this
league. Any of the three Brooklyn guys you would take over Paul George, right?
Oh, for sure. For sure. Durant, Kyrie, or Harden.
Yeah. It's just there's too many guys. Drew Holiday or Paul George? I take
same
Drew
level.
Holiday.
Same level.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah. He's at that level. He's at definitely a secondary level.
Like you look at the max players that are left, or I mean just any max player. Like you look at the Lakers max players. Yeah. Anthony Davis and LeBron James. There's no doubt in your mind those guys are max players. You look
no
down
question.
In Phoenix. Chris Paul or Devin Booker, you're totally comfortable maxing those guys.
Yep.
Milwaukee has Giannis. They have Middleton. They have Holiday. I think I'd rather have all three of those guys than Paul George. I'd rather
Do you think
have
they have a shot in the series, by the way? Do they have a shot
Milwaukee,
against Brooklyn
no.
after
Brooklyn,
winning last night?
Brooklyn's too good. Yeah, that's matter of fact, that's Brooklyn in five, I think.
Brooklyn in five.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you think they sweep him out from here?
Yeah, I think every team has two players that I'd rather have more than Paul George, and if that's the case, the Clippers aren't going anywhere.
Yeah, it's true. And I'll tell you what, if I was Kawhi Leonard and my contract was up like it is now, I'd go shopping. I'd go shopping if I was Kawhi Leonard.
He has that right. He has an opt-out. He can do it if he wants to.
Yeah, I mean, what's he scheduled to make? He's probably scheduled to make 40 million,
whatever the max
million.
Is. Yeah,
whatever
like
the max
40.
Is.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he can opt out of that, and he can get a max contract somewhere else.
Right.
Somewhere where he thinks he's got a better chance to win.
Yeah.
I
don't think he will, by the way. I think he'll stay with the Clippers, but he could if he wants to.
Oh, God, I hope he leaves. Wouldn't that be awesome if they lose if they lose to the Jazz and then lose Kawhi Leonard? Oh, God, that's so much fun. As a Clippers hater, that's so much fun to think about.
I don't think it's happening.
Oh, hate the Clippers. Hate the Clippers. All right, coming up next for you is Radio Tinder. Linz has got a bunch of stuff to throw at us. Mason in Ireland, 710 ES. What do you got for us?
What were you saying about my Instagram?
That you have one.
What is it again? Just in case people forgot.
It's Lindsay Baseball, at Lindsay Baseball.
Thanks, Mace. Thanks. Yep, thanks for the plug.
You put me in an impossible position. I had to do it.
I know. I love it when I do that. All right, so speaking of impossible positions,
yep.
Police are being flooded with bogus 911 calls telling them to go to Jennifer Lopez's home in Los Angeles, something that has been apparently happening for almost 6 months now.
Wow.
So what happens is the 911 caller will reportedly make complaints like that there's a disturbing noise coming from the singer's house, only for police to arrive and find that there's no disturbance. TMZ reports that cops are struggling to track down the 911 callers because the calls aren't coming from a landline. J-Lo's security has been working with the police to try and solve this big mystery. Have you guys ever had to call 911 or called the cops on someone for any reason? Swipe left or swipe right?
Well, that's a good question. I don't think I ever have called 911.
There are moments where I should have called 911. Like my grandpa fell one time and hit his head, and instead of calling 911, I helped him up and put him in a car and drove him to the emergency room. Really should have called 911.
Right, right. But
I don't think I've never been a victim of a major crime or witnessed a major crime, so I've never had, thank God, reason to dial 911. Have you, Lynn?
I've never had to call 911, but I have called the cops on people before.
What, for
what? Have you ever done that?
Yeah, for
well,
what?
Back when I was in high school, so my friends were all Catholic school kids, and there's two like rival Catholic schools, right? And my friend group was like split amongst them. So whenever there was a party thrown by the kids at one school, the kids from the other school, none of them would be invited or whatever. So depending on who I was hanging out with, this happened quite a bit. If like a group of people had a party at their house and our friends weren't invited to it, we would be the jerks that would drive by and be like, oh, they're having that party again, those idiots. And we'd call the cops on them.
To stop the party?
Yes, because we weren't invited. Wow. And I remember...
That's kind of a jerk move.
One time, I know, but it was hilarious to watch them all like scramble. We'd park like around the corner and watch them. Like one time, my boyfriend at the time in high school, he was at the party and I was mad at him about something. And he climbed out the window and he didn't get caught, but his best friend got caught and he got arrested. And I just thought it was so funny.
Wow.
Oh, that is funny.
It was funny.
You're killing the party.
Yeah, you're a party funny. Killer.
Well,
you know, that's not a surprise. Lindsay, the party killer, is sort of a thing.
Oh, no, the party was great if we were there, but, you know, that taught them their lesson.
Hey, Mason, you better invite Lindsay to your party.
She's invited.
Not, she'll call
She's
the
invited.
Cops.
Exactly. Absolutely. She'll be here. She'll be here. All right, what's next?
All right, so if you're looking for an affordable adventure this summer, I've got a deal for you. Amtrak just announced that they're relaunching the USA Rail Pass, allowing travelers to journey across America. It's a multi-ride ticket that covers your fare for up to 10 train segments from coast to coast over the span of 30 days. And it'll only cost you $300, which works out to be $30 a ride. The deal runs through June 22nd, but the pass is valid for 120 days after you purchase it. Would you ever travel across country on an Amtrak train? Swipe left or swipe right?
Sure, why not? Swipe right. Let's go. All up on the train.
Yeah,
which route would you take? Would you go east to west, west to east? Like, is there certain areas you'd want to see?
Well, it's really, do you want to go low or high? If you take I-10, you can take it all the way through Arizona and Texas.
Wait a minute, because Amtrak doesn't go on the road. They've got the train tracks.
That's true.
So they have a couple different routes. Like you said, there's like the south, there's the middle, and then there's the north.
Since I like warmer weather, I'd probably go south.
I've done the middle, not on Amtrak, but I've driven the middle many times across the country, at least 10 times. So I would.
That would probably be the most boring of the three, right?
It is. It's just flat and it's boring. You're going through places like Oklahoma, and it's dull. Mm. So I would actually go north. I'm fascinated by those mountains. The ones in Wyoming. What are they called?
The Grand Tetons?
Yeah, the Tetons. All that beauty up there. Utah's beautiful. I have not really seen much of that. I've never been to Yellowstone. Is there a train that goes near Yellowstone? Because I would like to go to Yellowstone Park. My friend Sue Kalinske and her husband Tom, they have a camper Winnebago sort of thing, and they just go out and spend a week somewhere at a campsite. And, you know, I still think of that movie Lost in America where Albert Brooks and Julie Haggerty take all their money, sell their house, take all their money, and they're going to ride around the country in a Winnebago, and she blows the money right away. But I think the idea of seeing the country either by Amtrak or by Winnebago is actually really interesting. When I've been in Europe, I've gotten a Eurorail pass. I don't know why this would be any different.
I think I would take the one that's called the Coast Starlight, which is considered one of the most spectacular of all train routes. It says you go through fertile valleys, lush forests, and snow-capped peaks as you make your way from Seattle to Los Angeles.
Sure, why not?
That sounds great.
That sounds like a good one.
Sounds fun.
Yeah, I would totally do that. There's a bunch of different routes. I think that would be fun. All right, the next one here is, okay, so you may have noticed lately that a number of men have been sporting a new fashion trend, wearing skirts and dresses. Lil Nas X was seen wearing a long tartan skirt, which is a manly symbol in Scotland, on SNL and The Tonight Show. Bad Bunny wore a classic tunic to the Grammy Awards, and A$AP Rocky was dressed in a kilt on the cover of GQ, among others. The New York Times did this big story about how clothing designers are thinking more fluidly in terms of gender identification and what's considered masculine versus feminine. You know, times, they're changing, you know, just like fashion styles always do. So if dresses or skirts became super popular fashion for men, just like the mullet we were talking about, if everyone was wearing them, would you wear one? Swipe left or swipe right?
I don't need no dress or no skirt. No, out.
You know, I have nothing against anybody who chooses to wear a dress or a skirt, but it is so not me. I mean, I'm looking at pictures of guys wearing kilts and guys wearing actual dresses. Though the guy that's kind of fascinating in this way is that Harry Styles guy, because he wears dresses and skirts and all that kind of stuff. He's sort of like on that blended kind of emo line. You know, if that's your thing, if that's your jam, if you feel good in a skirt, you go for it. It's not going to be for me. Even though I've got unbelievable legs.
Nah. I just wear my little short soccer shorts here and there, but that's about it.
Soccer shorts, dresses, not the same thing.
Not the same thing.
All right, well...
None of us are going to go there, Lens.
If pants became fashionable for women... Oh, wait, never mind. That was supposed to be a joke.
Yep.
You know, I'm reversing it. Never mind.
I'm glad that you told us it was a joke, because otherwise we would not have known.
Exactly. I'm great at that. Okay, last one. So, 35 years ago today, a classic movie came out. Do you guys happen to know what it was?
No.
35 years ago.
Off the top of your head.
That would be...
It would be a summer movie. How about E.T.?
14, so 1986?
Not E.T. Well, I'll tell you.
Top Gun.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Ah, what a great movie.
So as we all remember in the movie, Ferris, played by Matthew Broderick, has an adventurous day skipping school with his friends. So remember, he fakes sick, hacks into the school's database to change his absence, impersonates his girlfriend's dad to call her out, steals his friend's dad's Ferrari, and he impersonates the Sausage King of Chicago.
Abe Froman.
Yep. Could a teenager actually get away with all of that today in 2021? Swipe left or swipe right?
Probably, depending on how good of a liar you were.
It would take the ability to change your voice. It would depend. I think it would be really, really tough to actually pull off.
Faking sick.
In any era, what Ferris did.
Faking sick, for example. I feel like that's probably the hardest one.
Oh, I've faked sick many times in my life. I know how to do it.
Really? I feel like it's like you're checking your temperature. Well, I guess maybe you're right now. They could say, oh, well, maybe you have COVID. You better stay home.
Yeah,
so that's good.
I can do the sick thing, but the rest of it is very, very tricky.
You definitely couldn't hack into the school's database. Like, I don't think that would be happening.
You could drive Cameron's dad's car.
Yeah, but you couldn't, like, steal it. Like, wouldn't he know? Like, he was obsessed with that car. He probably had, like, GPS on it, right?
Well, they drove it off a cliff anyway.
Sure, but I feel like it's something.
No, they didn't drive it off a cliff. Remember? They were trying to roll the odometer back, and it went off the blocks.
It went off the block and went over the hill.
They couldn't impersonate the Sausage King.
No.
Well, they did there was they took his reservation at a restaurant.
Sure, but someone could just Google his name and be like, "Oh, that's not really him." Like,
so you're saying it was
Abe Froman.
You are going with the concept
of Chicago
that it was possible to do all this in 1986. But impossible to do it today because of the internet and social media and all that
stuff? I think it would be harder. Yeah, think about that. Like, you wouldn't be able to get on, like, the scoreboard on, you know, at the Cubs game or whatever, especially if your friends are at school and they're intermittently checking their phones, at least during lunch and whatnot. Like, that would get out on social media. You wouldn't be able to, like, go to all these big Chicago landmarks and not have it show up on social media, don't you think?
Yeah, it would be tough. Although, I don't think it was realistic back then either, Lindsay.
I do.
Ferris Bueller couldn't have pulled off those tricks. No kid could have pulled off those tricks. Ferris Bueller is a fictional character. That is not a documentary. I don't know if you realize or not. That's not a documentary, Ferris Bueller.
He's a fictional character?
Yes, he's a fictional character.
You just ruined all my hopes and dreams.
You love documentaries, and you thought it was a documentary. I'll be damned.
You're right. I did.
All right. You got anything else, or is that all you brought to the party today?
That is what I brought to the party today.
All right. Thanks.
You're welcome. And don't forget to follow me on Instagram.
And
at
I just want
baseball.
How is
and
that going for you, by the way?
It's going great. Got a lot of people following me on Instagram.
How many followers are you up to?
Let's see. I've got 6,774.
Mason, so she's 6,700. What do you got?
I think he's like 13,000.
16,000.
All right. So Lindsay, you got a little ways to go there.
Yeah, but, you know, I've only had it for not even a month, and I've already got that many. I think smooth sailing
from
here.
Well, let me tell you what. You've promoted your Instagram handle more times this month than I have in my life.
Well, you've also had your Instagram for like 7 years, so.
That's true.
No, you're
she's
brand
got a lot
new,
of ground to make
brand
up.
New to the party.
Yes.
All right, coming up next, John, Billboard did something really interesting. They put out a list of the three biggest mainstream rock songs of all time. And this is based on airplay and where they've been on the charts and how long they were on the charts and stuff like that. I've got those three songs, and then I want to figure out best rock song of all time for you and for everybody here. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.